We're here with Ross Barron. He's the devotional speaker for today's devotional. How are you doing, Ross?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
So the title of your talk is Authorized Messengers and the Gift of the Holy Ghost. And I was curious how you go on to relate those two topics in your talk without, of course, divulging the talk itself. What were your inspirations to this devotional address?
So the idea is that section 4, and a marvelous work and a wonder, and in the discussion board prompt, I asked why the Lord used the adjective to describe the work as marvelous. Why not just behold a marvelous work? Behold a work is about to come forth, a difficult work, an interesting work. Why marvelous? Mm-hmm. And I've gotten amazing responses from all over the world on the discussion board. And in addition, there's many reasons, but one of the reasons is that we have apostles and prophets and the gift of the Holy Ghost. And the connection between the two is the idea that without authorized servants, we actually don't get the gift of the Holy Ghost. And I make a distinction between influence of the Holy Ghost, which anybody can have in the world, and the gift of the Holy Ghost, which is reserved for those who submit themselves to authorized messengers.
Uh-huh. You mentioned that you had comments on the discussion board from all over the world. So does that include then Pathway students, I'm assuming?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Pathway students from, I mean, it's incredible. Russia, Central America, South America, Europe. I think India, I'm not positive, but anyway, it's been absolutely amazing.
That's incredible. What are some of those comments that you've received that you found really insightful?
Some of them are extremely inspiring and very insightful. I've had people do, you know, kind of an analysis of what the word marvelous means and the fact that this is God's work and it's eternal. People bring up statistics about, you know, six members start in 1830. Who could have thought that it would be worldwide with the humanitarian efforts we do, the missionary efforts we do, the BYUs, the church education system, that truly when you look at the church in terms of kind of everything that's going on, there was one post where it said, marvelous doesn't do it justice. And I thought, oh, that's so awesome.
That's awesome.
In other words, that we do the best we can with the words that we have in English. But I thought that was a great comment.
Yeah, I was a little curious about the word marvelous and what some of your thoughts were on what exactly does the Lord mean when he say this is a marvelous work.
Yeah. And I look at the idea of a marvel, you know, when you're with wonder and awe that you look at something. And again, I think, you know, if you and I, Matt, could transport back to 1830 to this little group of members and say, let's give you kind of a vision of what's going to happen in 2018, I honestly think they would have had a hard time believing that it could be true.
Yeah, this idea of the incomprehensible.
Incomprehensible is a good way. Or even just take the eye center.
Yeah.
Imagine we're going to take the Kirtland members of the church to the eye center, and we're going to say, this isn't even a stake or award. This is just members of the church who are attending this school, taking an hour out of their day for devotional, and we're in this amazing building.
Mm-hmm.
It's a marvel.
Yeah. You go on in your talk, you mentioned this interaction with the prophet Joseph Smith and the president of the United States at the time, Martin von Buren, right? And the prophet Joseph Smith talks about what distinguishes our religion from others. I was wondering if you could discuss just a little bit about that.
Yeah, the reason I bring up that quote is because what a fascinating opportunity. Here's the prophet of the dispensation with the president of the United States. And I think Martin Van Buren asks, I think, a totally legit question. Mm-hmm. And the question is, how are you guys different? I mean, there's tons, you know, you got Methodists and Presbyterians and Episcopalians, and you've got Baptists and Anabaptists. But so how are you guys different? And Joseph Smith says, essentially, it all can be boiled down to in the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
And
not the influence of the Holy Ghost.
The gift of. And I think what's fascinating about that and what's so critical about it is that I always like to think of all the things the prophet could have said. I mean, he could have talked about, you know, cool stuff like missionary work, temple work, degrees of glory, all these kind of things. Nope. He focuses on the gift of the Holy. And he says, all other considerations can essentially be boiled down to in the gift of the Holy Ghost. And that was kind of the inspiration for why I went that direction.
That's excellent. And you also go on later in the talk, I wanted to touch on this, the interaction that Christ has with the Pharisee,
Nicodemus.
And how the gift of the Holy Ghost was present in that meeting to confirm to Nicodemus that this indeed was the Savior. And of course, at the beginning of the interaction, Nicodemus says, Rabbi. And you go on to explain that that doesn't cut it. That's not
right. Yeah. And the one thing I would say is, you know, you said the gift of the Holy Ghost was present. Well, the influence of the Holy Ghost was present. And Jesus, you know, teaches him so fascinatingly in verse 3. He says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Because Nicodemus, without the influence of the Holy Ghost, doesn't get who Jesus is. Mm-hmm. Then in verse 5, he says, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So in verse 3, it's he can't see without the Holy Ghost. In verse 5, he's saying, if you want to get into the kingdom, now you've got to do stuff. Mm-hmm. You got to get baptized and you got to get the gift of the Holy Ghost. So yeah, super fascinating interaction with the Savior and Nicodemus.
Now, kind of shifting gears a little bit, I wanted to, for our listeners who aren't familiar with you, you're a professor on campus of religious studies. What classes do you teach?
So at BYU Idaho, we teach all of them, meaning I teach all the scripture-based courses, mm-hmm. Book of Mormon, New Testament, Doctrine and Covenants, Pearl of Great Price, Old Testament, New Testament. In addition, I teach other courses as needed on campus. One of the things that I do teach that's kind of a specialty is I teach Hebrew. Mm-hmm. And so I'll teach Hebrew 1 and Hebrew 2 as they relate specifically to the Old Testament. So that's kind of super fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So with your Hebrew studies, I'm sure that that had a lot to influence you in your life in general, but also in this devotional address. What are some of those things that you've found that you could relate with your background? And
I think with Hebrew, I always teach my classes even when I'm not teaching Hebrew, because I'll drop some Hebrew even in a New Testament class, Old Testament. And I'll make the point that for biblical Hebrew, for the most part, is always connected to something. There's something deeper. The meaning, the words have meanings. And so it's super interesting to tease out kind of the roots. So I'll give you a quick example. Mm-hmm. In English, we say altar, right? And so you think about a marriage as an altar, the sacramental altar, you know, those kinds of things. The Hebrew word for altar is mizbeach. And the word mizbeach means place of slaughter.
Oh.
So while we say altar, and you and I might talk about altar, and it doesn't have a ton of meaning for us in English. I mean, it might have some poignant feelings because of sacred experiences we've had at altars, but the meaning is place of slaughter. So you think about that. When we go to the sacrament table, the sacrament altar, that's a place of slaughter. Mm-hmm. The Lamb of God was slain for our sins. And so I like to talk about those kind of things.
That's great. So going back to the devotional address tomorrow, with this, I love this idea, this relation between the gift of the Holy Ghost and authorized messengers of the Lord. With the recent passing of President Thomas S. Monson, we were able to witness another call to the calling of a prophet with President Nelson. So I was curious on what your thoughts and feelings have been about that since that event.
Mm-hmm. So clearly, Russell M. Nelson has been amazingly prepared as one of the unique servants of the Lord. And so my wife and I were married in 1981. Russell M. Nelson was called in 1984 with Dallin H. Oaks. And so I still remember sustaining him and not knowing who he was. I mean, he wasn't a general authority. I don't know if people know that. He did not get called from the ranks of the general authorities to go into the Quorum of the Twelve. Either Dallin H. Oaks was not either. And of course, I think the entire church has seen the Lord qualify, magnify both President Nelson and President Oaks over their 30-plus year apostolic tenure. And Russell M. Nelson, of course, now is the authorized servant of the Lord who holds all the keys, right? Mm-hmm. And so my wife and I discussed when we watched that first conference or first meeting recently when President Nelson spoke, and the feelings of peace and gratitude and witness of his prophetic call. Although we've always known it, mm-hmm. you know, we've always felt it, and beautiful.
So is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners for today's devotional address, what things they can look forward to, any other thoughts that you might have?
You know, I try to share some cool stories that in the talk that I think that happened in my life. Also, I share one story from President Nelson when he was a doctor that's absolutely, you know, astounding in terms of how the gift of the Holy Ghost works in our lives, and it can work super in a manifest, like a visible way, and in ways less visible but just as powerful. Again, I want to connect, though, I'm not getting the gift of the Holy Ghost unless I humble myself to God's authorized mission messengers. Those authorized messengers in Nicaragua might be the full-time missionaries in some little town. Mm-hmm. And in some other areas, same thing. Ultimately, the authorized messenger on earth today is Russell M. Nelson. So, but he dispenses and delegates that authority down, which is a beautiful thing. Part of the marvelous work and a wonder.
That's great. So we've been here with Ross Barron. He's a professor on campus, and he is our devotional speaker for today. Thanks for coming in.
My pleasure. Thank you.